were directed towards one basic aim.
Yes.
How to touch the soul of the children.
Mm-hmm.
Through the mind, through their vital, through their body, but much more directly.
Mm.
So, in one important experiment, we suppressed all lectures.
Yes.
We decided that nobody will give any lectures at all.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a school of 700 children,
yeah,
and 150 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
There were no lectures at all.
Yeah.
So where there are no lectures, the question was, how will you communicate?
Yes.
And how will you do your teaching work at all? So what we did was that we prepared a lot of learning material.
Mm.
And we gave this learning material
mm.
like in an exhibition.
Yeah.
And this exhibition was as it were graded. So that for one grade, you have one kind of exhibition, another grade, another kind of exhibition.
Yeah.
And then students were asked to choose whatever learning material they felt interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And in each group, we had one or two teachers made available.
Mm-hmm.
Not for lecturing, but just for meeting.
Yes.
This is Tushar.
This is Tushar.
Huh? How are you? Fine. I came particularly for you.
You are really fortunate, Tushar, that you came particularly for you.
Yes. You talked to me on the telephone. So I decided that I must come myself to you.
Thank you.
So, children were asked to select materials.
Right.
And each group had one or two or three teachers available. And students were supposed to work on the learning material themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now the learning material was written in a particular fashion. And for this we spent about 1 month before starting this program. Mm-hmm. The learning material contained substance of certain subjects of studies.
Mm-hmm.
But the exposition was supposed to be full of blanks.
Yeah.
A lot of material is given, and then suddenly the child would find that there are many blanks.
Right.
So child cannot read through without filling the blanks. Now for filling the blanks, there was other material given.
To read.
By the study of which they would be unable to fill the blanks.
Yes.
Then there were so many other documents also made available on their desks so that they can refer to those materials too. And still if they had difficulties, they could go to the teacher and ask a question. And the teacher was supposed to give minimum of the answer. No lecturing, but minimum of answer. So this was a very great experiment. And we found that children were making tremendous progress. Every child was an active instrument of learning. And teachers were on their toes because they did not know what kind of question would be put at what point and by whom.
Yeah.
And how to answer that question. So teachers had to be quite up to the mark in regard to their materials. And then the teacher was supposed to correct whatever the child was writing after filling up the blanks. For example, if you had to say, Huan Sung visited India in 800 AD. He came from China. And during his visit to India, he had a large view of the world at large.
Yeah.
Did he have the map of the world? That is a question mark. Remember that Columbus discovered America in 1492. Now, what kind of world was it available to Huyen Sung at that time? Although he thought he knew the whole world,
yes.
Objectively speaking, he did not do so. So, material was written in this fashion, so that the child's knowledge is generated basically from himself by combining so many data. Now, this was one experiment we carried out, and it was a great success. And as a result of that, children became very inward-looking. Normally in a classroom, when the students are learning, listening to the lectures, the whole attention is outward-going. Very rarely the students are inward-going while listening to the lectures. But when you are doing work on your own, then the children are drawn inwards. And the atmosphere is not of listening, but of doing the work themselves, very quietly. And the responsibility of completing a course was not on the teachers, but was upon the pupils.
Yes.
And they were free to move fast if they wanted to. They could move slowly if they wanted to. They could do any subject which they liked at any given time, so that there was no timetable at all. And they could mix up any kind of subjects. For example, during this period, one child came to me and said, I want to study the history of costumes. The child was only 11 years old, but had a tremendous interest in costumes. So she said, I want to learn history of costumes. So I myself had to study the subject and prepare so many materials for the child. And while I was doing that, another child came and said, I want to learn the history of weapons.
Right.
So I had to start another subject myself to make a research in various kinds of weapons from the earliest times to the present day.
Yes.
From catapults to atom bomb.
Right, yeah.
So, now things of this kind began to happen. And this was a tremendous burden, tremendous load on the teachers because they had to work quite a lot. But fortunately we had 150 teachers all devoted to the task of making experiments. So we could do quite well. But this was only an external aspect. The internal aspect was that as a result of this, the children began to grow inwardly.
Yeah.
We could see that the children were becoming extremely inwardly disciplined. And the inner being was flowering. And the relationship between the teacher and the pupil was growing very close.
Close.
Now, this was our first experiment, which you could call a radical experiment. This was followed by a modified experiment, where lectures were allowed, but within limits. Because this experiment showed that lectures are not entirely useless. Many excessive lectures, of course, are to be avoided, but there are lectures which are quite important and they could also be useful. So we made experiments to find out what exactly is the utility of a lecture and what is the limitation of a lecture. So this experiment went on for 2 years. We found there were three kinds of lectures. Lectures which were simply expressions of the ambition of the teacher. The teacher felt extremely happy to exhibit his own knowledge. That is one kind of a motivation in a lecture. The second was demonstrative lecture, not exhibition of one's knowledge, but demonstration as to how the teacher thinks in his mind can be expounded through a lecture. Just as you do gymnastics display and you show how the different gymnastics are conducted, similarly when a teacher is giving a lecture, he is not giving a lecture to exhibit his own knowledge, but he wants to take the child within his own mind and show his mind as to how his own mind is working.
Right.
So that is the second type of a lecture, demonstrative lecture. And the third is the lecture for inspiration. You inspire the students by lectures. So these are three different kinds of lectures. So we suppress the first kind.
Yeah.
Exhibitive type.
Yeah.
But demonstrative types are quite good. But demonstrative type can descend into exhibitive type. There is a danger that it can descend into exhibitive. So one has to be very careful in not falling into that kind of a pit.
A very thin line between
the two. Very thin line between the two.
Yes.
Now, as far as the inspirational lectures are concerned, there are very few who can give inspirative lectures. So we made research as to from when can a person give a truly inspiring lecture. So first, when the teacher himself is in love with the subject.
Right.
That is when he is capable of giving an inspiring lecture. This is one condition, but not sufficient condition. It's a necessary condition, but not a sufficient condition. Secondly, he must have made a fresh research.
Yes.
You may love your subject, but if you go on repeating the same subject, then it doesn't become an inspiring lecture. You must make a fresh research. Having made a fresh research, you must have a great joy of sharing with others.
Yeah.
When these three conditions combine together, then you can give an inspiring lecture. Now this joy of sharing, again, has certain conditions. When do you have the joy of sharing? And this is where exactly the real task of the teacher consists. You feel joy of sharing when you do not have authoritative sense, when you are free from being an authority, when you are a child with children, and then only you can share because you are a child with the children. You feel happy to be with everybody as a child. And secondly, when your own soul is filled with intimacy of the inner being of the students, when you feel that you are intimate with the people with whom you are sharing. And this cannot happen unless you yourself lead an inner life. That is why all teachers cannot be inspiring teachers. They have to lead a life in which they feel inwardly very much intimate with the souls of the others. And this is where the soul education comes into the picture. When you are in this condition, when the teacher is in this condition, then he may give a long lecture or a short lecture. He may not lecture at all.
Yeah.
He may just be with the students, and that would be an inspiration. He may only give a few answers to questions, And that also would be sufficient. Because the condition of the soul is that of communication with the inner soul of the students. Now, this is the one kind of research that we did, and we concluded that in these conditions, lectures are very important and you should allow them. But when these conditions are not obtained, best that the children do the work on their own and teachers give only answers when required. Now, apart from this, we arrived at three other conclusions. A lecture is important when you want to introduce a subject. Again, it is important when you want to give a synoptic view of a subject. For example, at one time, I had 40 students in my class of philosophy. And each one was allowed to do any subject in philosophy according to his or her interest. There were no general courses of philosophy. But at a certain stage, they all said they wanted to have a synoptic view of the history of Western philosophy. So, in 3 days' time, I gave constantly 4 hours talks every day, 3 days. Yeah. So, 12 hours of talks on history of Western philosophy in a synoptic way. So, when you want to give a synoptic view of things, then also lecture is very useful. Either when you want to introduce a subject or when you want to give a synoptic view. Or thirdly, when you want to create a collective consciousness about a subject, then also a lecture is very important. And finally, when students have studied a subject in common, on their own, then for question answers, a collective lecture is a good instrument.
Interaction.
But apart from these needs, lectures are not necessary. Now, having come to this conclusion, we establish a whole system of education where the bedrock of the school is not students coming to school to listen to the lectures, but students coming to learn on their own. So basically, the students have this set in their mind. We are not going to school to listen to the lectures, but we are going to school to study and to explore. Teachers are available whenever they are needed. And that they are free to swim on whatever subject they are interested in a given time. And teachers would decide as to who is good inspirer and who should give lectures. Others need not give lectures. Everybody is not a good lecturer, so why should we impose that task upon everybody? And then according to the needs, according to these purposes, lectures could be given from time to time. So this is a new system of education that was evolved. And three things happened as a result of this experiment. One was that students could run very fast according to their capacity, or could run slowly according to their incapacity. And there was no blame or praise about either, depending upon each individual. The second was that students could widen their interests beyond the borders of prescribed syllabus. They were free to take up any subject and they could concentrate upon anything. For example, some of my students wanted to see, there were about children about 7-8 years old, what is inside the sea?
Mm-hmm.
they got interested in the question, what is inside the seed? So, one or two teachers were assigned to them, to these two children, just to take them to the ocean every day. And then talk to them about the ocean and about the animals of the oceans and about so many fishes and various kinds of the whole life of the of the animals in the sea. And I must say that within 2 years of time, they had fantastic knowledge, because in these 2 years, they read so many books on this subject which you could have never prescribed at all in the school because of the inner interest. And thirdly, we could give a new system of examination. In this system, first of all, there was no uniform examination for anybody. No one question paper given to 40 students. Examination was given to every child when he needed. Either when he asked, or when the teacher felt that he needed an examination for this particular subject, or for this particular line of development that he has been pursuing. And sometimes the teacher was supposed to give to a given student impromptu examination.
Impromptu. Yeah.
Without any notice.
Yeah.
Sometimes the examination was given as a matter of fun, just for the sake of exercise. So sometimes the examination was for making child aware of what he knows or what he does not know. Sometimes for assessment of what he has done. And in this system, nobody failed, because everybody had an examination just for the sake of progressing further. So in this way, the whole system of education, right from kindergarten up to post-graduation, we gradually went on developing. For each level, there are special needs. And keeping in mind all these needs, we went on developing the whole system. And within 5 years, by 1972, we had started 61.
Yeah.
It took us 11 years. And from kindergarten to the post-graduation, we gave a completely new system of education. So we felt it is possible to practically implement what we call psychic education, the education of the soul.
But uncle, children of his age, how do we help them focus on what is the aim of their life? How do we help them focus inside as well as outside? For instance, this child, how do I help him focus on what is his present needs as well as help him develop his soul? How do I as a mother help? Because this is a problem which I and he face every day. There's a constant battle of words and
yes, and
there's a constant telling him that you're not on the right path, while he thinks he's on the right path, and I think he's not focused properly on what he wants to achieve. He thinks he knows it all. So there's this constant battle which I think all of us mothers face with our teenage children. And at the end of it, we are both nowhere. Neither am I anywhere, neither is he. And it starts all over again the next.
There are three things which have to be understood. First, that the mother or the father has to be prepared to be led by the child. That's the first thing. When you said just now that you feel that child is not on the right line, now it is quite probable that you are quite right. So So it's quite probable that you are quite right. But the child is never entirely wrong. So the task of the mother is to find out in what strengths of the child's movement he is right. So you have to start with an assumption that the child is not entirely wrong. This proposition that he is wrong is to be modified. He may be wrong, but not entirely wrong. So you have to find out what are the strengths of his movement in which he is really right. Now this requires a lot of introspection, a lot of understanding what the child is really striving at. What does he really want? What is he looking for? Because every child is fundamentally trying to express his soul. He may not be knowing about soul or anything at all, but every child, every individual actually, every one of us is fundamentally trying to express his inner soul. Now we do not know that soul, we do not know how we are expressing, but there is a striving that has to be accepted. Now in order to help ourselves in the striving, I had once told you of the fourfold movement of the soul. The movement of knowledge, movement of power, movement of harmony, and movement of skill. These are the four movements of the soul as distinguished from all other movements. In one way or the other, these four movements are constantly moving out of ourselves. It is for us to know which one of these four is being pursued, or which two of them four, or which all the four of them are in an inadequate manner, imperfect manner, in a very crude manner, which of these four movements are really being pursued by the child. And the task of ours is to give conditions in which this movement is emphasized and to tell the child he is quite right. The child being told by the parent that he is right is a great encouragement.
That is true.
That the child is right
is
a great encouragement.
Yeah.
So we should have multiplicity of occasions where we can tell the child you are quite right.
Yeah.
And when there is a multiplicity of these movements, then sometimes when you really feel he is wrong, and if you tell the child he is wrong, he will appreciate you.
He will accept you.
Because very largely he is being told right.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes if he is wrong, then he can also sit back and say, yes, let me see where I am wrong.
Right.
And when somebody is wrong or the child is wrong, one has to be very careful in telling the child that he is wrong. You know, there are brisk manners of telling, oh, you are wrong.
Right.
Or you don't do anything rightly.
Right.
Or whenever you do, you break things. Or you have not yet developed intelligence.
Right.
Things like this, you know, these kinds of remarks are extremely wrong.
Should be avoided, yes.
And they can be avoided.
I'm guilty of it all.
Yeah? No.
Can you kindly repeat these four movements?
Movement of knowledge.
Knowledge. Yeah.
Movement of power.
Yeah.
Skill.
Movement of harmony.
Harmony.
And movement of skill.
Okay.
These are our four movements of the soul.
Right.
Everyone has got this movement. All four movements.
Right.
In some measure or the other.
Yeah.
And it is through these movements that our soul is expressing itself.
Yes.
But when you said these four movements, I was thinking which movement I so missed. I couldn't get one.
So this is the question, therefore, to ask again. Right? You are studying. What are you studying? Tell me.
As subjects.
Yes.
History, geography, civics, economics, maths, humanities.
You like all the subjects? Which subject do you like?
Yes, towards the end I don't like any, but in the beginning I liked English. And towards the end, when you get the hang of maths, you start liking it.
Oh.
That's what it. Geography?
Yeah. You know, the method of teaching subjects in our schools is so...
So crude.
For example, history is one of the most fascinating subjects.
Right.
But we never tell history in the right way. History and geography should be taught together because...
We have links.
You have to explain space and time.
Yes, space and time.
Because history is time and geography is space. And space and time are always correlated. So geography and history are always correlated. Take for example, I was just talking about Yuan Sung came from China to India. Now if I tell the child, look, Yuan Sung came to India in 800 AD. Now a child doesn't feel interested in it at all because he doesn't know China, he doesn't know India, he doesn't know 800 AD.
Right.
Now it makes no meaning actually.
Right.
So the first thing to tell the child is to speak of China, to speak of India. What is the 8th century? What does it mean? 8th century means what?
Yes.
And what was happening in India at that time? And why should a Chinese traveler take the trouble of traveling on foot from such a far distant land to India and to travel the whole of India and to spend years and years? And he went back, took a caravan of books with him from India in Sanskrit, which he went afterwards back to China and translated into Chinese. Now imagine a case of today. Would you like to go to any country with such a task? You wouldn't. Why? Because there is no attraction to any country of this kind. But at that time there was such a great attraction in India that somebody happened to come to India like that. Now, first of all, you must understand that to come from China to India, how does one come from China to India?
Yes.
It's no joke.
Yes.
No? Such a huge mountain to be crossed.
Especially at that time.
At that time. And such dangers of travel. And then India also, one doesn't know what kind of India was at that time. There were so many kingdoms of India at that time. There was not one kingdom as today. Yeah. So you have to pass through so many kingdoms. You have to imagine the atmosphere at that time. That the great atmosphere of India at that time was not kingdoms, but search of nirvana. That was the main search at that time. People were asking, how do you get nirvana? That was the question. So very often our children are not told how to understand history and geography. So the subjects are very dry. Now you said you like English.
That too in the beginning.
In the beginning.
There's so much activity you have to write and all that and... New chapters that you haven't read. That's interesting in the beginning, but in the end it's silly. It's a drag towards the end because you're constantly repeating one after the other. Like you have so many tests and three semesters, then this last board. And so by the time you get so sick of it, doing this again and again.
There can't be a greater evidence of the failure of present educational systems than what this 14-year-old boy tells us.
Yes, absolutely.
There can't be a greater evidence.
Such a bright boy.
Yeah. It's a pity.
He's such a bright boy.
Yes.
For example, in physics, we had this chapter called Space Exploration. So what the teacher did was, she just came, basically she read the chapter and she went away. So ma'am, this chapter's got such great scope, you couldn't show us a video cassette or something. So why should I take the pain? And you have to finish the course and I'll have to arrange for a video. Then will you get the video? Serious, no, I don't mind getting it. No, but how will I finish the course then? You must understand, I have to finish the course.
That's all.
So this is the caliber of the teacher.
So it was such an interesting chapter that was just lost because of the uninteresting text that was given. She said, okay, you get books about space exploration. So all of us got so many books, we didn't even see one. I mean, I said, ma'am, at least you could put up a bulletin board about all the interesting events and so many, like she could show us a movie or something. But nothing, because she had to finish the course.
You require a great individualized education. You are a good explorer yourself.
Yeah.
He is a great seeker of knowledge. It is because you are not being given knowledge, therefore you are feeling
uninterest.
You are a seeker of knowledge, basically.
Like in Hindi, we have to learn all these writers and all, we have to learn all their whole life stories. Imagine learning 10 people's life stories. Where they were born, in which year they were born, in which school they studied. I mean, I can't remember that from my own family members. How can I remember so many writers? And then they expect us to reproduce it word by word. Whenever I'm studying, my parents say, why don't you just try to understand it? But that's not what the examiner is going to see. He's going to see, have you reproduced what's given in the book? You reproduce that word by word. If you try to express it in your own words. Sorry.
No, but Tushar, you don't have to pick up word by word. If you understand the fundamental requirement,
yeah, but
time is the essence. If you know when Maithili Sharan Gupta was born, then you can understand his literature better than today. He was not born in 21st century. He was born maybe 100 years ago, 150 years ago. What was the condition of that time? When was Tulsidas born?
But you can't give your own input, Sadhguru. You have to give like whatever is given in the book. The same word, the same thing.
You must understand the requirement of learning about the time is very important. Because unless you know about the timing of a person, you won't understand his work. Because the work is related to that time. Any drama written in any period of time reflects the circumstances prevailing at that point of time. So that's the essence of time. So you don't consider it as superfluous. Why should you learn when was Suldas born and when was Tulsidas born and under what circumstances he was living? There's a basic need for this. If you want to understand his literature, then you must understand when he was born. In what period of time he was writing. So there's a basic necessity. You don't have to verbatim, learn or cram it up. But you must understand the basic.
Here's a big problem.
Yeah.
The parents and teachers expect that he should get good marks.
Right.
First.
Yeah.
Secondly, teachers don't spend time on all the aspects that you are mentioning.
Right.
In which he is interested, basically.
Yeah.
And thirdly, the courses are so heavy.
Yes.
That if he goes into questions of this kind with regard to every question that is put,
yeah,
there is no time for
it. He may not be able to finish it, yes.
Now these three important points are there in his conditions.
Yeah.
Now, I do not know what is the answer to be given to him because unless I take myself tuition of him.
Yeah.
Like for example, my Hindi sir comes.
Yeah.
So he is making me write letters and essays and all that. Even if I try a little new style of, it's like putting it in a different way and this and that. He said, no, you can't do it that way. I said, sir, I'm just trying to express myself. No, but you can't. That's not the way.
No. That is arbitrary.
He's so creative.
Yeah.
He's very creative. You are a wonderful boy. Very nice. Very nice.
But there's another problem he faces. He gets very nervous before the exam. Extremely nervous. He's not been able to control it for the last 3 years. He suffers from a severe bout of nervousness as the exam comes in.
But you know, he requires a good teacher who should take him on an excursion for 20 days or 30 days and sits with him. And why don't you arrange really seriously? He's so creative.
Anytime you tell me, I'll send
it to you. If I had time, I would take him because he's so wonderful. I like him so much.
Today's exams, yes, time. And after the 20th.
But you are going over to Bangalore.
Parsi is here, two of them, anybody can look after him. If he gets to have input from you, his future is.
He requires, he's so creative himself, and he requires these inputs. What you said just now, these inputs he requires. He requires time, and he does not need to be bothered about whether an examination is to answer or not. He needs to know for the sake of knowledge.
Yeah.
And for example, his question as to why video should not be shown in a subject where a video would be a tremendous difference.
Now you had a plantation class.
Yes.
Put plants.
Yes.
That's a good thing, but why we were doing it was not because we wanted to plant trees, because we wanted to get a degree. We had to be present every time for that class, and because she made us do, she made us, painting work was going on in the building, and there were these large Ashoka trees, all the paint got deposited on the leaves. So she gave us all rags and told us clean. So, I mean, that's really not fair. You're just doing the class because you wanted it, not because of interest or anything. No interest, no new things. Every time we just took some plant and put it in a pot. She never tried out new styles. She didn't teach us how to make bonds. And that was promised in the beginning of the year. She didn't nothing of that.
I must resign from my work and take him up. But what is necessary is to, you yourself can take him for an excursion for 20 or 30 days. And just be with him exclusively. You go to Darjeeling or a place like that.
Yeah.
And 30 days and take with you such beautiful books. And just be with him all the time. You would like to do that? Yeah?
Yes.
Please do that. I really recommend you. Alright? Please do that during his vacation. Just in 1 month. And be exclusively with him. No other occupation in your life. Excepting him. He's such a beautiful gift to you.
Yeah.
I tell you truly, not because he's your son. But he's such a beautiful child. Such a beautiful child. He deserves to be given that much thanks from your son. And you yourself are so educated, and you should pour in him whatever he can take. So good. And if I get the time, I like to go with him sometime.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would really like to do it. Very nice.
Would you like to tell him something? He should, how he should sit and meditate 5 minutes every day, some little, maybe a little thing.
You know, I'm opposed to all mechanical things. So it would be wrong for me to say every day 5 minutes you take out. So I'm opposed to all mechanical things. You should never do anything mechanical.
Yeah.
But what I can say is that you should have every day, whenever you feel happy, a time for contemplation. You know, this was what I was doing myself when I was, how old is your age now?
I turned 15 in March.
15. When I was 13, 14, for 2 years I did this exercise. Before going to sleep, 15 minutes I used to be in contemplation. When I used to think that I am as wide as the whole universe.
Whereas there was this lecture demonstration on aerobics by Reebok, and we weren't allowed to go for that, and other people were allowed. So, I mean, that's really not fair. You should go for stuff
what
you like, and
yeah,
you should be forced. You have to go for this.
Absolutely.
So, you used to contemplate?
Yes, contemplate that to be as wide as possible. Secondly, that everyone should be happy. Everyone should be happy. And third was an aspiration that I want to give my life to make the whole world happy. For 2 years, I had this contemplation regularly. And there was no mechanical repetition of name or any mantra or anything of the kind, but only this aspiration. Now, I don't say that this is good for everyone, but everyone should find out one or two thoughts in which one feels very happy. You find out what thoughts really make you happy. And then regularly one can go on repeating it in one's consciousness. So instead of sitting for meditation, this is a better way of spending this time. So I wouldn't prescribe him any mechanical method of meditating. Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me, do you like to do something with your hands?
Stuff like this.
Mechanics or...
Painting, drawing, angels, clay work.
Yeah, pottery.
You like pottery?
Yeah. Huh? I don't never got a hand on it, but yeah, it's always like fascinating.
It. Really? Oh. So that's...
Always ask people to take me to the pot and show me how he does it.
Yeah. But you have done yourself?
No, I never got...
Not the chance.
So I got done clay modeling school, but never did pot and show me.
Yes, let me see.
He paints well.
Really?
He painted a picture for me which I hung up in the new office and everybody said, this is a genius.
Really?
Yeah, really.
He's very creative.
I wish I could show you, but this is now in my home in India.
But you have some other paintings here?
Yeah,
he really did a very good job. Somebody came into my office, who did this? No, said my grandson did this. And they were very appreciative.
How nice.
How beautiful.
मेरे लिए इसने बनाई थी वो बहुत अच्छा बनाया था बहुत सुंदर वो मैंने इंदौर में रखी है
he is very creative huh? You take him to Darjeeling
yeah
Ooty will be easier
for him huh Ooty will be easier all right take him
to Ooty yeah I could
definitely
take him to Ooty it's beautiful
Ooty or Kodai or
South, I can take
it. It is very beautiful. Take to UT. Very beautiful. And just be with him all the time. Exclusively his.
I think that's what he constantly asks me.
Yes?
He says, just sit here with me. I don't want you to go anywhere. I just want you to be
How
with
nice.
Me.
Yeah.
He's always asking me.
That's very good. You fulfill this.
That I haven't fulfilled.
And you say he's wrong. He's so much right. He is very right in this, demand.
Yeah.
That is the need of his soul.
He's got tears in his eyes.
That is the need of his soul.
He always asks me for just that. Let us be with me always.
You must do that much. If this time when you go to Bangalore, you must try to find time and also go with him.
Let him listen to Rabindra Sangeet. Music of Tagore.
Yeah.
You have heard the talk of Tagore's music? No, you must hear his music. It's a music of your soul. You will find as if you come to your own home.
Yeah.
When you hear his music, it's a music of the soul. So you feel extremely happy. Even if you don't understand the words, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The music itself is
so good. Yeah.
I don't know if you can get the cassettes or not.
Yeah.
But I think you'll be able to get...
She understands Bengali. She speaks very well.
Yeah, she understands Bengali.
You understand Bengali?
She speaks very well.
Huh? Acha?
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
She had a schooling in Calcutta.
Subject of Tagore?
Yeah. Then you should take Rachnavali of Tagore, all the songs of Tagore, and you get cassettes of the song. Then you can explain to him also. Rimajim, Rimajim, Nritya Tale Tale. So many good songs, you know, of Tagore. Yes?
No.
How nice. Very beautiful. I like that music the best in the world.
Rabindra Sangeet
is the best. So wonderful. He was sent to take those music.
Sweet, soft and nice.
Very.
But uncle, what about the nervousness that...
It will go away because, you know, he feels lack of confidence to face the examination. Once he or has done true education, there is no problem. It's only it's a symptom, it is not the disease itself. The real point is that he has to be master of the thing that he has to face. So that will go away as soon as you give him this experience.
Or perhaps it's a common thing for an adolescent. As it gets into another 1 or 2 years, we'll develop one.
Also, but this is the main thing. You see, he feels nervous because he's not sure whether he'll be able to answer the question.
Yeah.
So that's a definite
damnation fever.
Yes.
It will always with everybody else.
But that happens particularly when you are not sure about whether what questions will come, what answers
yeah,
will give.
That's right.
When you know that question, whatever questions will come, I know the answers, then there's no problem.
Yeah, that's right.
What kind of input as parents should we give to our children, uncle? So that, like for instance, you said that you are right. That is a very important point. What we do mostly say you are wrong and very seldom say you are right. I think that's what all of us suffer from. That's one major pointer that you showed. Anything else that we can, because I find that they are at such a vulnerable age of 14, 15, 16, where they still can be, you know, we can do something for them, whatever.
No, he's wonderful. I tell you, he's a wonderful child. And you can make a genius out of it. They have tremendous capacity.
Between the two, if I will give her support.
Yes.
A lot of arguments on
yes.
that. I said, no, you are unnecessarily making him seem that
you really attest to me. That is
yeah.
why.
Yeah, so am I attest to him?
Right? Yes, but you are more objective.
Yeah, I'm more objective and I'm more attest to him than to her. So I always find him right.
Yes, correct.
Maybe I can logically
yes,
discuss
yes.
with her and tell her yeah. she's not right. But then I'm not very much along here. So whenever I'm here, then I make him feel that he's right.
You find some very good educated person. And let him have dialogue with that person.
Yeah.
You bring him sometime to me to have dialogue.
Definitely. Anytime when he has a little, when he studied
he
enough,
might,
even
if
now.
If I've got the time, I'll spend some time.
I will. I'll find it this week only. So that, because we've got very little time here now, I'm feeling sad. Years have gone by.
After 20,
you're 90. After that, he can spend some time. After the exams, he can spend 3-4 days.
Sure. If I find some time, you just ring me up.
I will definitely.
I like to spend some time with him. I like him very much. I like him very
He's fortunate.
He's very fortunate.
I like him very much. Very much.
No, I would say that she has groomed him well.
Very well.
Yes.
She herself is so nice. She herself is so nice.
Or actually, even Manda has a little problem. Her son is extremely overactive and very assertive.
He's very good at heart, but like sometimes he just gets a little aggressive. But he's very good at heart, very affectionate.
But he's aggressive and she's finding a problem helping him. She wanted to ask you also.
Uncle, isn't one child a problem for all the parents? Having only one child, isn't it more problem than having two?
Not necessarily, depends. You know, you have got a lot of time with one child, so you can really give the time
which they want to. Make them learn everything from A to Z because they have more time for one child. Not true?
Huh?
All the time you are after their
life.
Uncle, tea?
Oh, no, I don't take tea at all. Nothing
then
at
coffee?
All.
Coffee?
No,
I have drunk
juice.
You.
Juice?
A glass,
juice?
A glass of juice.
No.
A little bit.
Uncle
Krishnaling.
Yeah. You can't exhaust yourself and not have a glass of juice.
Not exhausted at all.
Before you go all the way back home.
Tea, coffee.
Tea, beta. 4-5. Not me. Even coffee. Actually, I have to leave at
6:30
if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Because 7 o'clock have another meeting.
Yes, sir.
6 o'clock.
No, we have about 7-8 minutes.
Yeah.
Jaldi se juice bol
dena. I must see your son. All right, just as I saw Tushar now. I must see him one day.
My son also.
Huh?
My son also, you know.
He's also very active.
just think you said that you spend more time, like you take him for excursion or a holiday. So in the same manner, when I take my son for a holiday, he's very, you know, keen to go on a holiday to a new place. But when it comes to going to a new place, he's very happy being at it. But the next stage is only the TV which views it. So how do you divert that from the TV? I want that when you are on holiday, forget the TV part. Just see the place where we have come. Why do you time your things only with the
TV program? No, but if he's so much interest in TV, you should get very good videos. And gradually you get interest. You
more educative, make a good, informative.
Because nowadays so many good videos are there.
Yes.
And let him see very good videos, even for 15 days at a stretch. Don't worry at all. If he's so much interested, let him see videos for 15 days. Exhaust himself so that he doesn't feel that he's hampered.
You can choose proper videos.
You can even sit with him and explain to him if necessary. Don't explain too much. Even if he does not understand, simply sits and goes on watching, let him watch. It is very useful. Only this picture should be really good. Not this junk which is coming up on the television.
Right.
He reads a lot.
He reads a lot.
The child reads a lot.
That, how nice.
He reads a lot, and even the TV or he watches all kinds of programs.
Yes.
Whether discussion, political news.
Yes.
And sports, reading.
But that's good. You shouldn't discourage him because.
So, but that thing, that whole thing comes to that academic.
Academic, that is true. He will suffer on account of that. So. But you take him for a month or so like that and show him video for 15 days and then you introduce whatever is to be studied. And actually the courses of children are not very big courses. If a child does for 1 week very nicely, he gets good grounding already. So what you need to give him is 1 month. If you can really give 1 month, it's quite a good deal of time. Just try it and see what happens. We shall see afterwards. But try this out. And take very good videos. That would be very nice.
So you talked about three type of teachers.
Yes.
Don't you think it's very extremely difficult to find an inspirational teacher?
Very difficult.
Extremely difficult. I don't come across any.
In a good school, you may find only one or two at the most.
Right. So that's the unfortunate part of our next generation.
This school that you were talking to is about, is it just a theoretical school or is it really established?
I was going to ask him the same thing. Where is this school existing?
Same.
I've not come across. I made a point here.
At Pondicherry.
Point Pondicherry.
I worked for 20 full years of my youth I spent there. So nothing imaginary, but really I worked with children.
But they can make their living.
Yes. They are so good. They learn 6-7 languages. Without a degree. Actually, the rule there is that if you want a degree, don't come here.
Right.
So children are free, actually. What parents don't like, but children like it very much.
What courses are they following?
As I told you,
own course.
Everybody has his own course.
Course, right.
Like, for example, if you like clay work, you'll be allowed to do clay work himself.
Yeah.
He can do his, on a studio of art.
Right.
He can be there for 8 hours if he wants.
Right.
Nobody to obstruct him.
Yeah.
If somebody likes music for 8 hours, he can do on piano 8 hours.
He enjoys music.
Really?
Beethoven.
But about, in our school, but music is restricted. He comes, say the harmonium, and you just go along with that. I mean, that gets so boring. A curriculum is so restricted.
I know it is
nothing. School hours are also very short, so they just try to finish the syllabus. That's it.
Then you buy one piano at home.
Then he's been waiting for me to do that.
Yes.
Buy him a piano and have him.
Now you see how much right he is. He is very right in asking for
a piano. Very rightly.
He's
been begging for the last 2 years. There's been nobody who teach him here.
You're quite a teacher. And
that I will in Bangalore. I promised him.
Already he's. Much bigger, actually, already. Actually, piano should start at 7.
Yeah.
But it's all right. There is one is never too late.
Yeah.
But you can start, and piano is a very, very great education of the soul.
Yeah.
How many students are there in Polytechnic?
700.
Oh my God. The Eastern
from kindergarten to fourth grade.
So, but uncle, without the degrees, how can they get jobs?
No jobs. I mean, ultimately, you ultimately find a place in the world, because if you want, otherwise, in the ashram itself, you get a lot of employment. And your self-employment also.
Yeah.
You can do many things. You can be teachers
yeah.
also.
Uncle, there are times when you are under stress or you don't know why your reactions are very strong or negative or you're irritable and you're not being able to understand why you are, but every little irritation or every little thing which is doesn't appeal to you brings out the negativity in you. How at that time must one be able to control oneself, because such situations happen, you regret when you think about it later on, but at that time you're not able to control. So how does one, because you can feel it coming on, you can know that it's happening. How does one bring about that change? Because that disturbs the entire equilibrium that you have worked for the last, whatever, 8 days or 10 days, you're peaceful and suddenly something goes wrong. 3 days of your life are finished in this, you know, wavering and heated self, and a disturbed soul.
That's how it is.
Manjusha, this is your personal question.
Yes.
And not a general question.
It's a personal question.
Then I would say it is unnatural for you. Your soul is quite different from this kind of a, it should not come at all in your life. Your soul is quite different from this. You are not meant to be in a state of quarrel or a state of...
I don't want to be in a state.
No, that's why your soul is not for that at all. So if it ever comes to you,
right. You
should really regret it. Because it is not a part of your soul.
I regret it and I am very upset about it.
But don't be upset. But
it disturbs me.
Be regretful but don't be upset. You watch as if it has happened to somebody else and resolve that next time it shall not happen and it will not happen there. It's a question of your resolution, that's all.
It's just a question of my resolution.
That it shall not happen. You are so developed inwardly that it shall not, it cannot happen.
Uncle, I just latch on to your words, I wonder.
It's a fact. I don't please you by speaking such words, but it's a fact. You know, sometimes to know good facts about ourselves is an encouragement to our soul.
That is good.
So, it is good to be fortified in our soul.
Mom, would you like to ask something? Like the juice. Yes,
Shiva? No. Can I
put
it
here? No. He wants us to be exposed to you also.
Yes.
But Tushar is done there.
His creativity.
It's okay.
His
sajake.
His creativity, no? He won't
like
to
be an artist.
He's a good cook also.
He made that. Because he's sajake.
He's a born artist. He's his fingers.
Yeah.
He has artist fingers.
But chill kai khare.
Theek hai, santre ka tha. Chalo yaar.
ऑमलेट
में डालते हैं नहीं रहते अंदर बोल वो नमकीन है नमकीन अंदर
बैठे
नाउ यू कैन क्लोज इट
इट वाज अ वंडरफुल एक्सपीरियंस